With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to this very special episode of the Curzon Cinemas podcast, where we will be discussing our films of the year so far. I'm Sam Howlett and I'm joined by Helen Seymour.
Hello.
And Jenna Hobbs.
Hiya.
So this week we're going to be talking about all the films that have been released in the UK in 2016 up to July. Quite a free-flowing discussion, I think, just talking about the films we've liked, some we didn't. Going to be a lot of arguing, I feel. But I'm always up for an argument. So, first of all, I'd just like to say a big thank you to our friends at CSR who are allowing us to use a brand swanking new studio, which we'll hopefully be using every week from here on out.
It's pretty nice.
Like the new studio, guys?
Yeah, I like it.
Excellent, great. So, on with the show. Jenna, do you want to start?
Throw
a film out there?
One of my favourite films so far. Yeah, so I'm going to go with an early film that I enjoyed, Room. It was released in the US in 2015 and it won an Oscar for Brie Larson for Best Actress.
Yep.
Absolutely loved it. Released here in January. Thought it was incredible. I think it's the most moving, one of the most moving films I've seen in a really, really long time.
Absolutely agree with you.
We loved Room, didn't we, Sam?
First ever podcast, so that's quite special as well.
Special moment for the both of us.
But yeah, Room is really amazing, really moving. I saw it twice and cried both times.
Yeah, I cried in all the places I didn't think I was going to cry as well. Like when, are you allowed to do spoilers on Room? I think it's been out for long enough, hasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so when Jacob is escaping from Room and he's in the back of the truck, I was like borderline hysterical watching it because it's so fast-paced.
Really hysterical. Yeah.
So scary and you just don't know what's going to happen. I just felt like I was on that whole journey with him.
Yeah, I think so. And I think just the way it's all sort of narrated by a child was a really nice little technique to bring you into this world, and you really believe the fact that he thinks Room is the whole world and he's got these kind of like
it's
childish
so
ideas
such
and
a yeah like well, I mean it's a really sad concept but also so beautifully executed, and the relationship between Brie Larson and Jacob Tremblay was incredible and she so deserved that Oscar.
Definitely. I think of the Oscars, we did an Oscar special show if you'll listen to that, but I think the most well-deserving award that year was Brie Larson for Room.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah.
She's outstanding. And all the little details in Room, you know, the set that they worked with is incredible. The egg snake.
Oh, yeah.
The plugs.
Yeah.
The fact that they did actually do it in a room and it wasn't a set, so it felt claustrophobic when they were in there.
And massive respect for director Lenny Abramson for making a film where the first half is all set in one room and making it feel cinematic.
Yeah.
He received an Oscar nomination and it was seen as quite a surprise Oscar nomination.
Oh, no, totally,
but 100% deserved. Room, really good choice, I think.
I don't know if it's my number one. I'm gonna hold back my number one, but it's totally in my top five.
Absolutely. Okay, so Helen.
Lucas.
Good night, mummy.
Lucas. I hate horror films.
Yep.
It was such a journey, wasn't it, Sam?
It was a roller coaster,
wasn't it?
To use that overused metaphor, but it was.
You were there with me. How do you think I fared in the cinema?
Not well.
I watched.
You were a bit of a wreck.
Now I didn't see Goodnight Mummy, so I think I need you guys to fill me in a little bit.
I watched the whole thing. What do you mean a wreck?
You were very Yeah, there was a lot of just sort of facial expressions during that film. And
should have been watching the film, not my face, Sam.
No, I think you did okay. You saw the whole thing.
Okay. 10 out of 10 I'd give myself.
Bravery.
For bravery. A for effort.
Anyway, I thought it was really good.
It is a really solid, really good film.
Yeah.
Really well made.
It's about two twin boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all we can say.
Yeah, well,
that's all you can know.
Listen to, we did a podcast special devoted to Goodnight Mummy earlier in the year.
Yep.
So I think go and seek that out if you want to learn more. But it's a real great combination of art house aesthetic and horror.
How scary is it? Because I'm not
very, very, very scary, very unsettling. But it's
so
not.
You're telling me I shouldn't watch this alone.
But not necessarily alone. In a hugely supernatural way.
Okay.
In a kind of like jumpy. There's no jump.
There's
scares.
No jump scares at all.
Okay.
It's all mood.
It's worse than that.
Oh no! And what made it stand out for you guys then?
I think it is just the fact that it's so well made.
Mm-hmm.
And horror is often seen as a slightly lower genre, I think, compared to others.
Yeah.
Because it's always, people think, when people say horror, they think of torture porn, like Hostel or mm-hmm. Saw, or
and it's so
slasher
not
films.
Okay.
But this is genuinely one of the, I think it's one of the best looking films of the year. One of the best made films of
all
the year.
All the bugs.
Yeah, the bugs and just like the design of the house and the woods nearby.
And there's a bit where they have nosebleeds.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting by the bath and it's all white apart from the red. And it's incredible.
Just things like okay. that. And there's like paintings on the wall. I know you love your paintings, Helen. There's paintings on the wall. And just like, you can really tell that they've put a lot of effort into yeah. choosing each specific painting to go on there.
And some beautiful, I love a metaphor.
Oh, good.
Give me a metaphor any time of the week.
Full of the metaphor. So much you could look into this.
Okay, great.
Psychological thriller. As well.
Yeah, very psychological.
Messes
very Freudian.
With your mind.
Love a bit of Freud.
Mm. You always talk about Freud.
I love Freud, yeah.
It is very
I'm
going to
talk about Freud a lot.
It's so Freudian, actually.
It is, yeah.
That bit with the monitor.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is. I think you'd like it. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I'll be brave. I'll suck it up. I was quite brave with a couple of other horror films this year. So.
We'll be talking about one very soon. I'm going to pick a film now, High Rise. I feel like there may be some slight disagreement in the room for that.
I loved High Rise, Helen.
I loved High Rise. For me, because I saw it in November at the premiere.
Oh, get you.
Stood very close to Tom Hiddleston. Handsome man. I saw it there and I thought it was fine, but nothing amazing. It took me the second viewing a few months later when it was out in wide release to really appreciate it and really love it. Just complete anarchy on show. And complete chaos, which Ben Wheatley does really well, without it being completely, without it falling apart or mm-hmm. being messy or just collapsing in on itself. I think he did a really good job of portraying that, but you can still comprehend what's going on.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, Sam. I absolutely loved High Rise. Yeah. I mean, there were so many parts of it that I found really difficult to watch because
yeah.
it's so gruesome at points.
It is, yeah.
But I just loved it. I thought it was such a cool concept.
Yeah.
Such a great kind of, I don't know, I think just looking at that kind of hierarchy of being and how
yeah.
how long can you suppress people before a revolt will happen?
I think there's a lot going on. I think you've on one hand, you've got this metaphor about social class and
yeah.
sort of Thatcherism, but then you've also got, yeah, like a great idea.
Yeah.
It's one of those films where you can sum it up just like, oh, it's all set in a tower block and the inhabitants are kind of at war with each other on each floor. And the whole thing sort of falls apart. And I think that's a great...
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, that sounds really good.
And then there's so much in it once
yeah.
you get watching
so
it.
So many amazing characters.
Characters are amazing. So many great
yeah.
actors in it as well.
And I think Luke Evans' performance as Wilder
uh-huh.
is possibly the standout performance of the year,
yeah,
I think, so
amazing.
Far.
Absolutely amazing.
Just pretty much playing Oliver Reed, just with the build of like a rugby player.
Yeah.
And just... going mental on
and
screen.
And there was just such a sense of foreboding with the whole
yeah.
film. You were just waiting for it all to go wrong and it paid off.
Yeah, and I think it plays around with genre in a really nice
mm-hmm.
way. There's a lot of sort of Monty Python-esque comedy in
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, it was really funny.
There's also horror, I
yeah.
think,
oh,
elements as
yeah,
well. And sci-fi, like the build, it's almost futuristic in parts. And the way the high-rise is filmed is like a spaceship at some points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. And it feels like, it doesn't feel like it's the real world. It does feel like it's some sort of weird... distant future or something, but it's set in the 70s.
Yeah, it felt like it was the future with the 70s vibe. But I know this film's been quite divisive. Like, I know lots of people didn't like it. I think we have a...
one in the room. Go on, Helen.
It's your turn, Helen.
No, it's fine. I said it on the thing. I didn't like how... I thought the move to it all going into anarchy happened too quickly,
okay.
and it lost me.
Yeah, well, because, well, just, yeah, we all, so me and Jenna work in a Curzon cinema, and there were some customers that did think it's not for me.
Yeah, lots
and I
of
get
people
that.
Walked out.
I do get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's walkouts, and I think they agree with you, Helen, where some people are just like, it happens too quick that.
It's a Marmite film, I think.
Yeah, love it or hate it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people who didn't like it felt very strongly about not liking it.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see why. I agree that it did go a little quickly into anarchy because I do think the whole setup of...
Yeah.
I love the setup, just to say.
Could have been a
that
little
whole
longer
thing.
There. Yeah.
I love, but that, you know, that comes from J.G. Ballard.
Yes. Yes, we should point out it's based on a book, very, very, very well written book.
I haven't read it.
I think the book maybe is more... It takes its time more to descend in the energy.
It's so hard to get a whole
to get
book
it right.
into a film, you know?
Especially a J.G. Ballard book, which is so complex. Right, so High Rise there. Again, that was one of our films of the week earlier on in the year, and you can find that if you go on iTunes or SoundCloud and look for the Curzon Cinemas podcast. Jenna, your next film.
My next favourite film, I think, is Annalisa.
Interesting.
Absolutely loved Annalisa, and again I think it's been another Marmite film. So it's an animation which was absolutely beautifully done, incredibly done. I think it just delved into so many things that you don't usually see an animation explore. It was about a man going through a crisis, and I just absolutely loved it. Thoughts, anyone else?
Go ahead.
Cool.
Sam?
I agree.
I think the trailer.
it is an odd one because I don't feel the need to revisit it.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
Okay. I feel like. I mean, I did. I really appreciated what it did, what it said, the characters, the dialogue, and just the fact that it's animated in the way it's animated is so original. And I feel like if it was live action. It'd be a totally different film, so I think the animation is really it needs
totally
to be there.
Makes it, well, I mean it couldn't be the same because obviously in the animation they've made everyone's faces look the same.
Done that. I mean that's another great concept, like we're talking about High Rise, that you say it to someone and you think that's a really good selling point. I think with Annalisa, everyone's got the same face,
same voice, and it would have been impossible to do without that. I just found it incredibly moving. I think I've watched it 3 or 4 times now.
Okay.
And I thought it was amazing. The trailer really missold it to me. The trailer really
makes... It's deceptive, isn't it?
It's very deceptive. Yeah. It makes it seem like it's a really romantic film.
I think you're extraordinary.
Oh, Sam, you do
obvious to me that you are.
Sam does this every time I mention
it. Do it more.
Everybody's had a day. Some good, some bad.
Now do Harry Potter.
No.
Come on, it's really good.
I thought so too, Harry.
So good.
It's very good. Sam's impression show coming soon.
That's pretty much what this is already.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been trying to make it that since day one.
But Annalisa, the trailer's really deceptive. It looks like a romantic film, and it's the complete opposite. It's probably the least romantic film. And that lovely line
it's
of
bleak.
Like, I think you're extraordinary.
It's obvious to me that you are.
It's just so depressing.
It's tainted now.
It's so tainted. I just think it's such an interesting look at kind of mental health problems and people who can't
relationships.
I loved it.
I think the reason I'm not in any rush to revisit it is because it's so bleak.
It's bleak.
And I just think, when am I ever going to be at home? Just think, I really fancy watching Annalisa. I just
really want to cheer myself up today.
I really like it. Looking back, I wasn't as positive on our podcast.
No,
because about it that I how I feel about it now because. I was so fooled by the trailer. And I was ready for a happy film.
Yeah.
And I went in there and it registered in my head like a horror movie.
I can see that, yeah.
And then I sort of, I was thinking, but it's not a horror movie because it's too true. And then I was just stuck with that for ages. So by the time we did the podcast, I was still in the middle of trying to process it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mark of actually a really good film. Mm-hmm. And it's a creepy, creepy story.
It is.
It's incredibly dark, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I do want to revisit it when I've got time in terms of emotional space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emotional time.
It's not to be undertaken lightly, is it?
I think it's one of I think there was a really great quote in one of the reviews for it in some sort of newspaper. I can't remember who wrote it, so I'm going to misquote someone probably, but it's like the most human film of the year has no humans in it.
Oh yeah, yes. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I loved it, and I think it was robbed of its Oscar by Inside Out. Now I know this is going to be a very unpopular statement, but I couldn't get on board with Inside Out.
Neither could I.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. I found it really tedious. I liked the concept. I did like the concept.
I think Inside Out would make a really good horror movie.
Do you reckon?
Genuinely. The bit where they go into the subconscious.
Yeah.
Like, for adults.
Yeah.
If they took the concept and made it a lot darker.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I think it'd be great.
You make it, Helen. Let's do it.
Also, just quickly, the kind of high-rise element of things all falling to ruin. Mm-hmm. Can someone make a remake of Lord of the Flies?
I'd be up for that.
Wouldn't that be so good?
Yeah, when was the last
time? There's only one film, and it's in black and white.
Well, I think there's a few, but there's only one famous one.
It's in black and white. It's old. Come on,
guys. We can't watch black and white films anymore.
I can't be doing that.
Come on, mate. We need a 3D Michael Bay version with explosions and naked women. Please.
No, I think it.
I think it's due. Remake. It could be
maybe
really good.
It's like preempted it.
Is Jungle Book on your list talking about remakes?
It is not on my top 10, but I did enjoy it a lot.
Mine. And I need to mention that because during the podcast I was too excited and I said film of the year.
Really?
Oh, Helen.
That's the claim.
And got backtracked.
Now it's not even on my top 10. I mean, it's great, but it's not that great, is it?
But
I saw it twice.
Did she?
I saw it twice too. It was worth it.
Once in 2D and once in 3D.
Yeah, definitely.
Helen, give us another film.
I did want to talk about Remainder a bit more.
Yeah.
That's my number 4, but I actually can't talk about it that much because, guys, I've worked it out, but I can't say because it's too much of a spoiler.
Okay, tell us later.
But I just want to say...
You've worked it out.
I've worked it out.
You've worked out what Remainder is.
And it's about Nars.
Ooh.
But I can't say. So... Just if you've seen Remainder,
get in touch.
I just
Helen.
Want you to know. Just send me a letter,
and dear Helen, I'll
secretly tell you what happened because I've sorted it.
I really liked Remainder, though.
It's so good. Oh, I'm so excited for his next work, whenever it comes. I don't know what it is. Fire at Sea, I will talk about.
Yeah.
I wasn't counting Remainder as one of.
Oh, it's just okay. That's not in your list.
It is.
Oh, right, but
it's not one of your choices.
It's not one of my.
Well, we can talk about both Remainder and Fire at Sea. Both very different films.
Hugely different.
I think Remainder is a really solid psychological thriller. I think it's sort of there's hints of genius there from the filmmaker, but I think you can tell it's someone's first film.
Yes.
And that's not a major criticism, but I just think there's better to come.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I agree.
And I'm so excited.
I'm excited as well.
It's so stylish, Remainder, and he's got such a great, like, artistic eye.
It's Omar Fast, yeah.
Yeah, can't wait to see what he'll do next.
So good.
And Fire at Sea, one of the most interesting documentaries I've seen for a long time,
me
I think.
Me too.
Just in terms of the way it's filmed and what you're shown.
In my top 10, for sure.
And perhaps the most important film.
Well, this is... Because obviously when we were talking about it, I was saying there's a bit of me that feels a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But then I remembered that actually one of my favourite paintings is, I said I liked paintings, and I do, Raft of the Medusa by Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
1818. Mm-hmm. That's what it's painted. And it's huge. It's this massive painting. 491 centimetres by 716 centimetres.
That's pretty big.
Can you imagine that?
I'm trying.
Is that like a Monet water lily kind of size?
The things are, the humans are life size, and the humans in the foreground are bigger than life size.
Oh, wow.
I'm with you.
Okay. And it's about a shipwreck from a French naval boat that were carrying French colonists to Senegal. And the pilot was really inexperienced, and there was a shipwreck. And the captain behaved really immorally and got all him and his crew out into the limited lifeboats. Mm. This is a true story that happened. Okay. Into the limited lifeboats. And then they were towing a raft behind them, but mm-hmm. they snipped the rope to the raft, so they just left all these people to drown. And Jericho found out about this, and he did it on such a massive scale to be like, I'm not going to let you forget that this happened. Mm. And he, you know, obviously put it out on exhibition. And he did so much research for it. He went to visit the morgue to see what mm-hmm. colour the skin tone would be, because there were 149 that were left on this raft and only 15 survived.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, and I just realised Fire at Sea is Jericho's Raft of the Medusa. And I'm so glad it's on film mm-hmm. because I want people to see in the future what happened.
Yeah.
And us, like, not to get too political.
Yeah.
But we should be held accountable for the crisis.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? The way we document history is going to have changed so much. You know, from our history classes yeah. when we were at school, we're looking at scraps of paper and paintings and things like that. We're now creating kind of a multimedia history for ourselves for mm. future generations to look back on. And I think that Fire at Sea will be important in that.
And all the archive footage of newspaper articles and things about that show a negative light on immigration.
Yeah.
They need this to show what I believe is like the true human crisis, and that all the stuff that's negative about immigration is actually very wrong.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought it was great, but I felt uncomfortable watching it. But I've kind of realised how important it is to actually yeah. have that on film.
And it won, you know, a few awards this year on its festival run, completely deservingly, I think, because it is a really important film. But it is, and in general, it's quite a not easy film to watch, but you can't look away.
Yeah.
It's that kind of film.
It's very engrossing.
Yeah, you're really drawn into this world, especially the real world.
Because, like
yeah.
we said, although it's a documentary, it does feel quite feature filmy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because he spent so much time with the people, they don't ever feel like they're aware of the cameras.
Yeah,
or anything
you
like
feel
that.
Like you're watching characters rather
yeah,
than
definitely.
Real people, which isn't a criticism or anything negative at all. It just because they are so interesting, mm-hmm. it's like someone's created them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think that's our only documentary that we've talked about.
I think Helen and I might have another documentary to talk about.
Oh, maybe. So my next film, I'm going to go for Spotlight. Best Picture winner, 2016. So this was the film, I think we did this quite early on in the podcast's run, obviously about the Boston Globe's expose on paedophilia in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Really amazing film, so understated. It's just a great it was kind of like between Spotlight and The Revenant, mm-hmm. and we didn't do a whole show on The Revenant, but we talked about it a lot in the Oscars special. And I think The Revenant is a show off film.
Yes,
it's look what we could do with film.
It's also quite boring.
A lot of people share that opinion.
It's very long, The Revenant.
It is, yeah. Whereas Spotlight is just great combination of just solid acting, mm-hmm. solid direction, solid writing, solid. The music is all done pretty much just on a piano. Mm-hmm. Everything's just done at the most basic level to tell a horrible story.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I completely agree. And also, like we just said, I think this is really important.
Yeah.
And it's something that I hadn't understood the scale of.
No, before. Me neither.
And I think it's something that I'd heard of in passing, not really taken the time over, oh yeah, the Catholic priests abused, I only thought it was boys as well, and isn't that horrible? Yes, it's bad. But I'm thinking, like, what, it's 50, 100 Catholic priests.
Yeah.
When at the end of the film they show you all the places, that's the most
horrible,
heartbreaking part of it for me, just thinking, how can this have been going on across the world for so long and it's been covered up so bad so much. Yeah.
And I think it feels quite old fashioned as well in a way, Spotlight, I thought.
Yes.
It feels like something from the 70s, just about a group of kind of not oddballs but slightly quirky newspaper journalists who don't exist much anymore. Because of the way the media is these days. There's just something really nice about it. Just these kind of crusaders against evil.
Yeah, they just felt compelled to bring justice.
And I know it's a true story, but it's such a great story.
It is.
That the underdogs
rose to the occasion. These people that had so much power within their community as well. And I think that's something that we don't necessarily understand so much here, because I don't think the church holds quite as much power as it does in certain parts of America.
It's in Boston, which is a heavily Irish Catholic community.
And it's so brave to take on a big institution like that when you're just a group of people who can be pushed around and bullied.
I also love the fact that writer and director Tom McCarthy made The Cobbler with Adam Sandler.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's actually quite uplifting that a guy can make a terrible film and then one of the best films of the year.
That film, they can be more chalk and cheese, those two films.
So there is hope.
Yeah.
Just think, whenever you watch a terrible film, don't fear, because their next film could win Best Picture.
Spotlight. Yeah. Yeah. I also think Mark Ruffalo was absolutely incredible in that film and should have won that Best Supporting Actor Oscar.
Absolutely agree. And there's a speech he makes which is quite heartbreaking.
Yeah, really heartbreaking.
Yeah, I think he definitely
so deserved. Understated. Oh, in the best way.
Yeah, you don't get these kind of ensemble films anymore either.
No.
Yeah, it's true. It's so much about the big star.
Yeah,
isn't it?
This is another thing with The Revenant.
It's all Leo's.
Look at Leo, the film. But I mean, I liked The Revenant. It is a really well made film, but it just doesn't have the emotional weight that Spotlight did.
Yeah, because maybe the story isn't, it's about survival, but a long time ago. It's not necessarily something we can really relate to.
Yeah, and
also,
it's a film
about, it's so improbable that someone could survive that. I remember watching it and thinking, well, I'm dead after the first battle scene.
Richard Iowadi was saying that it was a lot of
it was a lot of noise.
That's how he described it. He was like, well, it was, I didn't think it was that great. It was just a lot of
I don't want to take it away from Leo, because I'm a huge Leo fan.
But Leo should have won for Wolf of Wall Street. I said it all along.
Yeah. And I think I'm glad he got his Oscar, and I do think he did an incredible job in that role. But I don't necessarily think, in general, as an enjoyable as a film,
he's not really enjoyable. A character.
No,
he's just a guy that bad things happen to him.
Yeah,
and you just
the
see
guy
him
having a bad day.
bad day at the office. Mondays, right? But yeah, so Spotlight, one of my films of the year. Jenna,
another one for me.
Yeah.
Oh, let me consult my list. I don't know what I've said and what I haven't yet. Here we go. Okay, so. Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Everybody Wants Some.
Yes.
I'm ready for a happy one after we talked about all this like really serious stuff. And I just loved it. It was so much fun, that film.
Yeah.
I love Richard Linklater as well. And I felt like this film was kind of side-passed a little bit in general.
Yeah. It's a real shame, because I think this is the kind of film that everyone would love when they watched it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to hate. There's absolutely nothing to hate about this film.
It's such a, like, it's so on point with its study of, like, that kind of boy culture and friendships and that early, like, late teens, early adulthood feeling. Yeah, loved it.
But yeah, it's about being male. Mm-hmm. And male friendship without being offensive to women.
It's not offensive to women at all.
Which is actually, I think that's quite hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that in a film. So it's a film about a bunch of horny guys that drink beer and play sports, and they talk about women, and they sleep around a lot. And it'd be so easy for that to be completely sexist and horrible.
And you think that, I mean, on the premise, it sounds like that. And it sounds like, yeah. if you'd have told me, oh, go and see this film, it's about a group yeah. of boys, and all they do is try and sleep around, I'd be like, oh,
no,
God.
Thank you. Yeah.
But it's just not about that, really.
No, it's not.
It's about friendship, and it's about kind of growing up, I suppose.
Yeah.
In such a great, stylish time period.
And it's the perfect follow-up to Boyhood as well.
Yeah.
Because Boyhood took him 12 years to make.
Yes, yeah.
Which is insane. And to follow that up with a film that's set over 3 days.
Perfect.
And must have been fairly low budget, really fun and easy to make.
Great cast as well. Every yeah. actor in that film is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Like we were saying about Spotlight, you don't get ensemble films much these days, yeah. but this is a great ensemble film.
Yeah, and
everyone's a character.
Everyone's like, a character. Yeah. It just knows what it's doing the whole way through. There's a scene when they're all rapping along.
Yeah,
in the car
the
that goes
light.
On for
yeah.
like just the right amount of time, and it leaves you wanting more the whole way
yeah.
through. I think. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I will purchase the DVD.
Oh, do definitely.
That's the DVD
do.
One. I have so many. Everybody wants some coasters at home.
Oh yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. I want all of the Everybody Wants Some merchandise.
I'm such a sucker for merchandise.
Yeah, me too.
And also, its portrayal of the 80s is not ironic.
Yeah, no, it's not. It looked really fun because, you know, every time I hear about the 80s, I think, oh, God, perms. It sounds horrendous. But it looks so much fun. I want to go to, like, a soul club and go, like, proper
yeah.
disco dancing.
Oh, I've always yeah. wanted to do that.
It just, yeah. I was like, get me back there.
Firmly on board.
Mm-hmm.
I approve.
Approve
of
that
your
one.
Choice.
Good,
yes.
good news.
Helen Seymour.
Are we doing number one or not?
Not yet.
Victoria, then, number two.
Victoria, number two.
Loved Victoria, Helen. Amazing.
Agreed. There's nothing more I can say. Oh, it's so good. One take. So real. So much emotion. I don't want to spoil it. Because there's a lot
yeah.
that happens throughout the film.
I didn't think I was going to like it that much.
Neither did I.
Which is why I think I like it as much as I do. Because I thought it was going to be such a gimmick with the one take. And that
yeah.
it was going to be... Like
Birdman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was going to go on for...
Which isn't even one time.
Way too long. Because it's like, actually, it's a really long film, isn't it? It's like 2.5
Yeah,
yeah but I didn't notice the time
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, I didn't at all. Absolutely loved it. I think it's amazing. Amazing, amazing. The journey you go through with those actors
yeah.
who were so incredible. They didn't have a script. They're
no.
improvising as they go along. Yeah, amazing.
I have... No, I agree... The most part with you two.
Yeah.
I do think it's a really great film and I will watch it again and I will recommend it. I would recommend it to people.
Mm-hmm.
Even like, obviously I think you should watch everything, but like, I know there are certain people I know that wouldn't watch
a foreign
art house film.
But it's mostly in English.
There's that, but then there's just the fact that it's so watchable and it's a recognisable story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thriller.
Yeah.
It's a really good
it's
action
intense.
Thriller and it is intense and... Yeah, more so than most Hollywood action films mm-hmm. of the past few years. My reservations are, I think it's too long.
Yeah.
I know you. I'm just completely disagreeing.
No, go ahead.
I thought it was too long. I did notice that it was 2.5 hours. And there's just, I mean, obviously it's a really impressive feat to do a film in one take mm-hmm. and be completely improvised. But I just felt like every now and then I could tell that because there was no one shouting cut.
Yeah.
That the improvisational dialogue sometimes went on and just felt like they were just spinning their... Every now and then, I just felt like they're spinning their wheels here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't... I'm not going to question anyone's acting or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do think every now and then some of the improvisational dialogue scenes went on too long.
Yeah, I think that's
because they were restrained.
Yeah. What you like. Because I really enjoyed that. But then
yeah.
I also am into theatre. So
I think every now and then it felt real.
Yeah.
Because when you're meeting someone for the first time and you're a little bit drunk, which is what the first sort of
yeah.
half
yeah.
hour of the film is about, you do kind of just talk like
but
rubbish for a while.
Well, exactly. That's
but
why.
But then every now and then, but I just, the fact that I noticed it, I feel like.
But I just thought,
I
this is so real.
Yeah.
And, like, they're with a group, and so we go over here, and now let's do this. And, like, it's that feeling of things
yeah.
just going on. But I wasn't bored by it. I was just in it.
Mm. I also feel like some of the crime elements...
Yeah.
I think I talked about this when we did
the
Victoria podcast, that just some of the crime elements just didn't ring true to me, because the rest of the film is so realistic.
It does get a little far-fetched.
Yeah,
I'll
I think it got
that.
Quite
well,
far-fetched.
I've always said there's funny bits.
Yeah. There is a lot of humour there, but I just every now and then there'd be like a gangster character that just took me out of the film.
Oh, see, I quite like that. I just think in general the crime is a little far-fetched. Yeah. And like the kind of unfolding of that afterwards.
Yeah.
I think it could have cut for me a little earlier on without the... I don't want to spoil anything, but without the final quarter, I could have done without that.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what, if it was like an hour and 2 hours...
Also because I want a happy ending, and it's not a very
happy
ending.
No,
I love it in its entirety. I think me and Jenna came out being like, oh my lord.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, good. Really good, solid thriller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good, like, sort of Saturday night viewing, I think. Yeah. If you're in on a Saturday night and you
Sunday,
want to watch
Monday,
it.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I think it makes you want to go on a night out afterwards.
Other days
Saturday
of the week
night.
Are available.
I'd watch any night of the week.
Awesome.
Or morning.
My next film, I'm going to go for one that we didn't talk about in the podcast.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to go for Green Room, directed by Jeremy Saulnier. So his follow-up to Blue Ruin, starring the late Anton Yelchin.
Oh, that was sad.
Really sad. This is a film, it's about a heavy metal band that witness a crime in a sort of white supremacist nightclub. And they're then laid, they're under siege. They lock themselves in a room and they're under siege by this like neo-Nazi group headed by Patrick Stewart.
Oh my goodness, does a great, that sounds really like intense.
There's a great southern accent. Patrick Stewart playing a southern redneck racist skinhead is a real treat. This film was not as widely shown as it should have been.
I haven't seen it.
It just was really sort of raw, real sort of breakneck filmmaking. I think one of our producers, Jake Cunningham, said, when I see that, I'm going to have to put on my big boy pants because it's tough and it's brutal. But again, as I said about Victoria, sort of Saturday night viewing, it's quite pulpy. Mm-hmm. It's quite violent, but I really enjoyed it. And it's bittersweet now because of Anton Yelchin's recent passing, because he was onto amazing things, I think. He's also got Star Trek Beyond coming out in a few weeks' time. Again, that's going to be quite a bittersweet film now, just because I'll watch it and enjoy his performance, but just in the back of my mind, I'll be like,
he could have had so much more.
Yeah, a lot of potential there. Green Room, highly recommend it. Right, so before we get on to our personal films of the year, do you want to very quickly just spitfire
some special mentions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Zootropolis. That was great.
That was a big lot of fun with that.
Love and Friendship.
Captain America Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't talk about it, but I absolutely loved that. I think that's one of my favourite films of the year, just it's so... I think it showed you that superhero films can be really complex and really, really good. Like, really solidly good. And I think people who don't like superhero films will enjoy it.
We're going for our big number one now.
Let's go for big number one.
Okay, I think... I mean, I've decided. This is my number one so far. It's Notes on Blindness that Helen and I reviewed a few weeks back.
High five, Jenna.
Yeah, you
Helen,
feel the same,
do you
Helen?
Agree?
100%.
It's beautiful. It's amazing. I don't want to say too much more about it because I think Helen and I gushed about this on the last podcast. But watch it because I think it changes the way you look at so many things in like a beautiful, mind-opening way.
I will just say what I did already say on the podcast, but I'm genuinely going to revisit this film throughout my life in times when I think I'm maybe having a difficult time or need some hope. I'm going to watch this because that's what this film is.
Yeah.
And it restores the faith.
Yeah, and also just another, like we said, Fire at Sea is a really interesting way of making a documentary. Notes on Blindness is like a fascinating way of making a documentary.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anything like this. And
neither have I.
I wonder if we'll see anything similar to this in the future.
Yeah. It's on Curzon Home Cinema.
It is.
So watch it.
Quite a few films that we talked about today are available on Curzon Home Cinema. Just to spitfire a few, Spotlight's on there, Goodnight Mummy's on there, Fire at Sea is on there.
Notes on Blindness
is on there. So do check those out on Curzon Home Cinema. My film of the year is a horror film. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. It's The Witch.
Yeah.
I just think, for me, it's the perfect combination of that sort of folk horror. Recently, actually, another sad passing of last week. Robin Hardy, who directed The Wicker Man, passed away. And I think The Witch owes a lot to The Wicker Man, as do a lot of horror films. Amazing breakup performance from Anya Taylor-Joy. really creepy, really scary, really unsettling. Just sort of pure horror. It's not, there's nothing, it's not that ambiguous. It's, there is a witch terrorizing this family. This is that film. Just an interesting look at femininity, religion. I just feel like there's everything going on in that film.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Sam. Absolutely loved it. It's definitely one of my favourites so far this year. I think, especially because horror is not my thing at all. So for me to say that a horror film is in my top three, maybe, that's... Yeah.
And just things like the title was often written as the VV. Mm-hmm. It's like, instead of a W, it would be a VV, which is the old English way of writing a W. Just those details were inherent.
He did his research with that film.
It's almost a foreign language film because... Yeah. The English they speak is so old fashioned and so archaic that it's almost,
it takes you,
you need subtitles, I think.
Yeah, sometimes I think
I refused to watch it because I was scared. But
I think you could do it.
I am going to watch it.
It's not a jump scare film. It's just unsettling.
Yeah, and I think the most scary part of it is just kind of what hysteria can do to you and what such a dogmatic belief system can do.
I'm going to watch it.
Definitely. And yeah, it's a really nice play on folk myth and urban legends. And like old,
I didn't mention Tales. It wasn't in my list.
Telltales, that's been another shout out film. That was really
Team
fun.
Flea, what a film.
So many good films, and we're literally only halfway through the year. So
definitely.
We've not got any Oscar films out yet, so... God knows what we're going to be
on Twitter. We have some people's favourite films. Mm-hmm. Saul Masters has recommended Tale of Tales, The Witch, Creed and Assassin as his favourite films. Ken's Movie Review says, just start with Deadpool, but the year's been very strong overall so far despite the potential risk of summer slump / long gaps.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Think the summer blockbuster season is not looking too good.
BFG's coming out.
Excited
Star,
about that,
Star Trek Beyond. Paul Green says Victoria agrees with you two. Mustang
Come
the Hereafter.
On, Paul.
The
yes.
Brand New Testament, Embrace the Serpent. A very interesting eclectic list there.
He's got a great list.
Stephen Armour, The Witch, Green Room, Hog of the Man, High Rise, Departure.
Oh, he's
your
he's
kind of guy.
Yeah,
kind of
your guy. Kind of guy.
And then Stevie at DCanio72. He's got a long list. Ooh. He's gone Green Room, Spotlight, Son of Saul, The Nice Guys, Sing Street, Mustang.
The Nice Guys is really good.
The Neon Demon, The Wave, The Clan, Evolution and Deepan. Deepan was great as well.
Deepan was good. There's so many great films.
It has been a really good year for these kind of smaller independent films, I think.
Survivalist,
and
we haven't mentioned.
The Survivalist, I forgot about The Survivalist.
It's a good one, isn't it? Very small film, but very good.
I think just to end with saying the whole point of the one of the points of the Curzon podcast is to bring you these films, films that you won't know, often don't get much attention, and they're harder to find and seek out, but they're worth seeking out.
Oh, definitely.
And I think we've just proven that with that really lot of, we've mentioned like over 20 films, I think.
Yeah, got to get on home cinema and get watching them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So another big thank you to CSR 97.4 FM for letting us use their studio today. We'll be back next week, so that's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
See you later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.